Chapter 16. The child of the Marshalsea, the baby whose first draft of air had been tinctured with Dr. Agage's brandy, was handed down among the generations of collegians, like the tradition of their common parent. In the earlier stages of her existence, she was handed down in a literal and prosaic sense, it being almost a part of the entrance footing of every new collegian, to nurse the child who had been born in the college. By rights, apostrophe remarked the turnkey, when she was first shown to him, I ought to be her godfather. Apostrophe, the debtor irresolutely thought of it for a minute, and said, perhaps you wouldn't object to really being her godfather? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh. I don't object, apostrophe replied the turnkey, if you don't. Apostrophe, thus it came to pass, that she was christened one Sunday afternoon, when the turnkey, being relieved, was off the lock, and that the turnkey went up to the font of St. George's Church, and promised and vowed and renounced on her behalf, as he himself related when he came back, like a good un. Apostrophe, this invested the turnkey with a new proprietary share in the child, over and above his former official one. When she began to walk and talk, he became fond of her, bought a little armchair, and stood it by the high fender of the lodge fireplace, liked to have her company when he was on the lock, and used to bribe her with cheap toys to come and talk to him. The child, for her part, soon grew so fond of the turnkey that she would come climbing up the lodge steps of her own accord at all hours of the day. When she fell asleep in the little armchair by the high fender, the turnkey would cover her with his pocket handkerchief, and when she sat, in it dressing and undressing a doll which soon came to be unlike dolls on the other side of the lock, and to bear a horrible family resemblance to Mrs. Bangham, he would contemplate her from the top of his stool with exceeding gentleness. Witnessing these things, the collegians would express an opinion that the turnkey, who was a bachelor, had been cut out by nature for a family man. But the turnkey thanked them, and said, no, on the whole it was enough to see other people's children there. Apostrophe, at what period of her early life the little creature began to perceive that it was not the habit of all the world to live locked up in narrow yards surrounded by high walls with spikes at the top, would be a difficult question to settle. But she was a very, very little creature indeed, when she had somehow gained the knowledge that her clasp of her father's hand was to be always loosened at the door which the great key opened, and that while her own light steps were free to pass beyond it, his feet must never cross that line. A pitiful and plaintive look, with which she had begun to regard him, when she was still extremely young, was perhaps a part of this discovery. With a pitiful and plaintive look for everything, indeed, but with something, in it for only him that was like protection, this child of the Marshalsea and the child of the father of the Marshalsea, sat by her friend the turnkey in the lodge, kept the family room, or wandered about the prison yard, for the first 8 years of her life. With a pitiful and plaintive look for her wayward sister, for her idle brother, for the high blank walls, for the faded crowd they shut in, for the games of the prison children as they whooped and ran, and played at hide and seek, and made the iron bars of the inner gateway home. Apostrophe, wistful and wondering, she would sit in summer weather by the high fender in the lodge, looking up at the sky through the barred window, until, when she turned her eyes away, bars of light would arise between her and her friend, and she would see him through a grating too. Thinking of the fields, apostrophe, the turnkey said once, after watching her, ain't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, where are they? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she inquired. Why, they're over there, my dear, apostrophe, said the turnkey, with a vague flourish of his key. Just about there. Apostrophe, does anybody open them, and shut them? Are they locked? Apostrophe, the turnkey was discomfited. Well, apostrophe, he said. Not in general. Apostrophe, are they very pretty, Bob? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she called him Bob, by his own particular request and instruction. Lovely. Full of flowers. There's buttercups, and there's daisies, and there is the turnkey hesitated. Being short of floral nomenclature, there's dandelions, and all manner of games. Apostrophe, is it very pleasant to be there, Bob? Apostrophe, apostrophe, prime, apostrophe, said the turnkey. Was father ever there? Apostrophe, apostrophe, hem. Apostrophe, apostrophe, coughed the turnkey. Oh yes, he was there, sometimes. Apostrophe, is he sorry, not to be there now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and not particular, apostrophe, said the turnkey. Nor any of the people? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she asked, glancing at the listless crowd within. Oh, are you quite sure and certain, Bob? Apostrophe, at this difficult point of the conversation, Bob gave in, and changed the subject to hard bake. Always his last resource, when he found his little friend getting him into a political, social, or theological corner. But this was the origin of a series of Sunday excursions that these two curious companions made together. They used to issue from the lodge on alternate Sunday afternoons with great gravity, bound for some meadows or green lanes that had been elaborately appointed by the turnkey in the course of the week, and there she picked grass and flowers to bring home while he smoked his pipe. Afterwards, there were tea gardens, shrimps, ale, and other delicacies. And then they would come back hand in hand, unless she was more than usually tired, and had fallen asleep on his shoulder. In those early days, the turnkey first began profoundly to consider a question which cost him so much mental labor that it remained undetermined on the day of his death. He decided to will and bequeath his little property of savings to his godchild, and the point arose, how could it be so tied up as that only she should have the benefit of it? His experience on the lock gave him such an acute perception of the enormous difficulty of tying up money with any approach to tightness, and contrariwise of the remarkable ease with which it got loose, that through a series of years he regularly propounded this knotty point to every new insolvent agent and other professional gentleman who passed in and out. Supposing, apostrophe, he would say, stating the case with his key on the professional gentleman's waistcoat, supposing a man wanted to leave his property to a young female, and wanted to tie it up, so that nobody else should ever be able to make a grab at it, how would you tie up that property? Apostrophe, apostrophe, settle it strictly on herself, apostrophe, the professional gentleman would complacently answer. But look here, apostrophe, quoth the turnkey. Supposing she had, say a brother, say a father, say a husband, who would be likely to make a grab at that property when she came into it? How about that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it would be settled on herself, and they would have no more legal claim on it than you, apostrophe, would be the professional answer. Stop a bit, apostrophe, said the turnkey. Supposing she was tender-hearted, and they came over her. Where's your law for tying it up then? Apostrophe, the deepest character whom the turnkey sounded, was unable to produce his law for tying such a knot as that. So, the turnkey thought about it all his life, and died intestate after all. But that was long afterwards, when his goddaughter was past 16. The first half of that space of her life was only just accomplished, when her pitiful and plaintive look saw her father a widower. From that time the protection that her wondering eyes had expressed towards him became embodied in action, and the child of the Marshalsea took upon herself a new relation towards the father. At first, such a baby could do little more than sit with him, deserting her livelier place by the high fender, and quietly watching him. But this made her so far necessary to him, that he became accustomed to her, and began to be sensible of missing her, when she was not there. Through this little gate, she passed out of childhood into the care-laden world. What her pitiful look saw, at that early time, in her father, in her sister, in her brother, in the jail, how much, or how little of the wretched truth it pleased God to make visible to her, lies hidden with many mysteries. It is enough that she was inspired to be something which was not what the rest were, and to be that something different and laborious, for the sake of the rest. Inspired? Yes. Shall we speak of the inspiration of a poet or a priest, and not of the heart impelled by love, and self-devotion to the lowliest work and the lowliest way of life? With no earthly friend to help her, or so much as to see her, but the one so strangely assorted. With no knowledge even of the common daily tone, and habits of the common members of the free community who are not shut up in prisons, born and bred in a social condition, false even with a reference to the falsest condition outside the walls, drinking from infancy of a well whose waters had their own peculiar stain, their own unwholesome and unnatural taste, the child of the Marshalsea began her womanly life. No matter through what mistakes and discouragements, what ridicule not unkindly meant, but deeply felt, of her youth and little figure, what humble consciousness of her own babyhood and want of strength, even in the matter of lifting and carrying, through how much weariness and hopelessness, and how many secret tears, she drudged on, until recognized as useful, even indispensable. That time came. She took the place of eldest of the three, in all things but precedence, was the head of the fallen family, and bore, in her own heart, its anxieties and shames. At 13, she could read and keep accounts, that is, could put down in words and figures, how much the bare necessaries that they wanted would cost, and how much less they had to buy them with. She had been, by snatches of a few weeks at a time, to an evening school outside, and got her sister and brother sent to day schools by desultory starts, during 3 or 4 years. There was no instruction for any of them at home, but she knew well no one better, that a man so broken, as to be the father of the Marshalsea, could be no father to his own children. To these scanty means of improvement, she added another of her own contriving. Once, among the heterogeneous crowd of inmates there appeared a dancing master. Her sister had a great desire to learn the dancing master's art, and seemed to have a taste that way. At 13 years old, the child of the Marshalsea presented herself to the dancing master with a little bag in her hand, and preferred her humble petition. "If you please, I was born here, sir." Apostrophe O. "You are the young lady, are you?" Apostrophe said the dancing master, surveying the small figure and uplifted face. "Yes, sir." Apostrophe, "and what can I do for you?" Apostrophe said the dancing master. "Nothing for me, sir, thank you," apostrophe anxiously undrawing the strings of the little bag. "But if, while you stay here, you could be so kind as to teach my sister cheap apostrophe, my child, I'll teach her for nothing," apostrophe said the dancing master, shutting up the bag. He was as good-natured a dancing master as ever danced to the insolvent court, and he kept his word. The sister was so apt a pupil, and the dancing master had such abundant leisure to bestow upon her, for it took him a matter of 10 weeks. To set to his creditors, lead off, turn the commissioners, and right and left back to his professional pursuits, that wonderful progress was made. Indeed, the dancing master was so proud of it, and so wishful to display it, before he left to a few select friends among the collegians, that at 6 o'clock on a certain fine morning, a minuet de la cour came off in the yard, the college rooms being of too confined proportions for the purpose, in which so much ground was covered, and the steps were so conscientiously executed, that the dancing master, having to play the kit besides, was thoroughly blown. The success of this beginning, which led to the dancing master's continuing his instruction after his release, emboldened the poor child to try again. She watched and waited months for a seamstress. In the fullness of time a milliner came in, and to her, she repaired on her own behalf. "I beg your pardon, ma'am," apostrophe she said, looking timidly round the door of the milliner, whom she found in tears and in bed. "But I was born here." Apostrophe, everybody seemed to hear of her, as soon as they arrived, for the milliner sat up in bed, drying her eyes, and said, just as the dancing master had said, "Oh, You are the child, are you? Apostrophe, yes, ma'am. Apostrophe, I am sorry I haven't got anything for you, apostrophe said the milliner, shaking her head. It's not that, ma'am. If you please, I want to learn needlework. Apostrophe, why should you do that? Apostrophe returned the milliner, with me before you? It has not done me much good. Apostrophe, nothing whatever it seems to have done anybody much good who comes here. Apostrophe, she returned in all simplicity. But I want to learn just the same. Apostrophe, I am afraid you are so weak, you see, apostrophe the milliner objected. I don't think I am weak, ma'am. Apostrophe, and you are so very, very little, you see, apostrophe the milliner objected. Yes, I am afraid I am very little indeed, apostrophe returned the child of the Marshalsea, and so began to sob over that unfortunate defect of hers, which came so often in her way. The milliner, who was not morose or hard-hearted, only newly insolvent, was touched, took her in hand with goodwill, found her the most patient and earnest of pupils, and made her a cunning workwoman in course of time. In course of time, and in the very self-same course of time, the father of the Marshalsea gradually developed a new flower of character. The more fatherly he grew, as to the Marshalsea, and the more dependent he became on the contributions of his changing family, the greater stand he made by his forlorn gentility. With the same hand that he pocketed a collegian's half-crown half an hour ago, he would wipe away the tears that streamed over his cheeks, if any reference were made to his daughters earning their bread. So, over and above other daily cares, the child of the Marshalsea had always upon her the care of preserving the genteel fiction that they were all idle beggars together. The sister became a dancer. There was a ruined uncle in the family. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.